This week on Vaticano, the Jubilee year continues with a focus on the Church's mission to migrants and refugees. At St. Peter's Basilica, deacons from the North American College are ordained, committing their lives to service. Former soldier turned priest, Father Alessi, shares his story, culminating in his ordination by Pope Leo XIV. And we take a closer look at the life, teachings, and spirituality of St. Teresa of Avila, one of the four female doctors of the Church. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. The Jubilee of Missions and Migrants, celebrated last Sunday, was one of the highlights of the Holy Year 2025. The event drew thousands of faithful, missionaries, migrants, and pilgrims from over 100 countries around the world. The liturgy beautifully united two distinct yet deeply connected dimensions: missionary outreach and the welcoming of migrants, emphasizing the universal nature of the Church through the proclamation of the gospel and its embodiment in acts of charity.
This is a wonderful opportunity to rekindle in ourselves the awareness of our missionary vocation, which arises from the desire to bring the joy and consolation of the gospel to everyone, especially those who are experiencing difficult and painful situations. In particular, I think of our migrant brothers and sisters who have had to depart their homelands, often leaving their loved ones behind, enduring nights of fear and loneliness, experiencing discrimination and violence firsthand. Vivendo sulla propria pelle la discriminazione e la violenza.
Since the very beginning of his pontificate, Pope Leo has been a steadfast voice for the marginalized, the poor, and migrants, consistently emphasizing the call to follow Christ's example in our daily lives.
You know, Pope Leo is maybe the best thing that could happen to church, to the Church, and to the world at this moment. If you remember his very first intervention after being elected Pope, he said we should turn back to Christ and put Jesus Christ at the center. If we put Jesus Christ at the center, it means returning to the original plan of God, which is the image and likeness of God.
During the beautiful celebration in St. Peter's Square, the Pope invited all of us to carry on Christ's mission in the often neglected peripheries of the world, places scarred by war, injustice, and suffering. Following the Mass, a vibrant Feast of the Peoples took place in the gardens of Castel Sant'Angelo, an afternoon filled with testimonies and performances by migrants, missionaries, and over 20 ethnic groups from around the world, all celebrating the theme, Migrants and Missionaries of Hope Among the Peoples.
It's beautiful because we are expressing ourselves in all the languages and cultures of the world, in full respect for diversity, recognizing its richness, not with fear of the other, but with openness. My brother expresses himself, sings, and prays in a different way. I can learn from him, and he can learn from me.
The colorful and joyful Feast of the Peoples was a celebration rooted in the desire to seek forgiveness together and to meet others not through barriers, but through friendship. Many migrants, grateful to have begun a new life in Rome, were present, joyful yet inevitably reminiscing about what they had left behind in their distant homelands.
Like everyone else, we obviously hope that they are doing well, and in the meantime, that we can somehow help contribute to that well-being. We remain confident that Bolivia still has so much to offer, so much beauty and goodness. Leaving the country is really the very last resort, because that land is ours, it's our heart, it's our essence. I believe that who we are is also thanks to where we were born.
Among the thousands gathered in Rome to celebrate the Jubilee of Missions and migrants during the Feast of the Peoples, missionaries were present to share their experiences and offer insights into the reality of their local churches.
There is a large local church in Vietnam because there are vocations among young people and also parish life. Christians are very active in missionary life and also in the life of faith. There are many missionaries from outside the country. Now, there are also local missionaries because the sisters, priests, and religious men and women are doing the mission. But there are also others from outside, from other countries, who come to us for the mission.
This spirit of fraternal exchange, as Pope Leo affirmed during the Jubilee liturgy, has the power to renew the church and sustain a Christianity that is more open, more alive, and more dynamic. Next, we'll take you to St. Peter's Basilica, where new deacons from the North American College are ordained to serve the church. Every year, a group of young men from the Pontifical North American College is ordained to the transitional diaconate in St. Peter's Basilica.
Father of the orphan, defender of the widow, such is God in his holy place.
It's a unique and deeply moving moment where the men dedicate their lives to Christ, embrace the church's mission, and respond wholeheartedly to his call to serve.
The only way to look at it, the only way I can look at it, is that it is a gift given freely from God. I could never have earned this. There's nothing that I could have done, no task I could have accomplished that would have merited such a gift like this. So really it's just the gift of being able to receive and know that Christ loves me in that way and has chosen this for me, to be able to lay down my life in that church.
This year, it was the turn of 16 men from different dioceses around the United States to commit their lives to serve Christ and His church as deacons and future priests. Bishop Joseph Handfelt of Grand Island, Nebraska, celebrated the diaconal ordination and reminded the young men that they had been chosen and called from all eternity.
Before He formed you in the womb, the Lord knew you. He dedicated you and He appointed you, and He will always be with you in every circumstance. Now, open your heart to the grace of your diaconal ordination so that your life and ministry can be one of generous service to the Lord who has called you to labor for the harvest of souls.
With around 1,500 guests from around the United States, the Papal Basilica was filled with family and friends who had come to witness their sacrifice and their yes to God's call. Taking place near the tomb of St. Peter, one of the first 12 apostles and the first pope, the ordination uniquely highlighted the deep connection between the new deacons and the church's apostolic roots.
Just this morning, I was in the Basilica of St. Peter's with my parents there in town for the ordination, and we did the Scavi tour to St. Peter's tomb, his bones, and just a beautiful moment to reflect on Jesus' call to Peter. Knowing how much Jesus loved Peter and how much Jesus loves me in this vocation. And not only the vocation to be a deacon, to be a priest, but that vocation of love that he gives all of us in baptism, faith, hope, love.
Reminding the new deacons of their vocation and mission, Bishop Handfelt emphasized the need to give of themselves to others and following the example of Jesus to strive to serve rather than to be served.
Cultivate each day a true love for the people of God. Desire their highest good, strive to love them with the mind and heart of Jesus. Be patient with them. Lovingly encourage them to discover the more that Jesus wants to share with them. And remember, St. John Vianney always said, the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Following their promise of obedience to their bishops, the diaconal candidates laid down prostrate on the floor as the congregation sang the Litany of the Saints. A powerful reminder that not only the faithful on earth, but the entire church in heaven is praying for them, and a blessing they hope to share with the people they will serve.
Pray for us, holy angels of God,
pray for us.
To really allow that to seep into my person in a new way, and to really kind of form the Catholic man that God made me to be, and then, you know, the Catholic clergyman, the deacon, the priest, how much of a gift that is, that just that calling in itself, but then to be trained here, you know, where the Pope is, but to see the Pope, to meet the Pope, just to be able to carry that back with me in my own heart and to share that with the people of Nashville, Tennessee, who gave me so much.
Each of the men then approached the bishop, who laid his hands upon their heads. A practice rooted in the apostolic tradition confers not only the grace of the Holy Spirit, but also the sacred authority to serve in the ordained ministry. After receiving the stole and dalmatic from the assisting deacons and priests, the bishop placed the book of the gospel in the hands of the new deacons, signifying their ministry to proclaim, teach, and live the gospel's message of faith and charity. For Deacon Thomas Johnson from Montana, it's a challenge filled with hope and an opportunity to grow closer to Christ through service.
I mean, the faith is very strong in the pockets where it is, but, you know, it's the challenge is that you can be a little isolated sometimes because you'll be the only priest for 70 miles in any direction. So I know one priest who covered a parish that was the size of the state of Connecticut. So, it can be a lot sometimes.
While some will remain in Rome to continue their studies, others are sent forth to begin their ministry, a ministry shaped and enriched by their formation in the Eternal City. God willing, they will all be ordained priests next year.
You get a sense of the universal church here that you don't get. I mean, I'm from rural Montana. Like, we don't have a huge sense of that. We don't even really have a great sense of the American church. So being able to be here, I mean, I can see St. Peter's from my bedroom window. I'm right here. So I think being trained here will give me a much a richer experience to bring back to the diocese when I actually can go back as a priest and enter ministry.
Just a few weeks after the start of Pope Leo XIV's pontificate, he celebrated an ordination mass in St. Peter's Basilica and urged the new priests to welcome God's grace so they might remain close to the people they serve as credible witnesses. Father Andrea Alessi was one of those priests ordained by Pope Leo XIV.
Sì, lo prometto.
EWTN correspondent Valentina Di Donato spoke with Father Alessi to discover the experiences that brought him from military service to the holy calling.
I believe that the priest is a man that is in love with Christ. He discovers a calling for this love and the desire and gift to give himself completely to the Lord. And that's why it's a progressive journey of awareness. A desire to pronounce the word arises, to pronounce the word of God, to become aware of it, to study it. It's a desire also to arrive through a journey of discernment.
How did this happen to you and when?
Io ho potuto fare delle esperienze di avvicinamento che mi hanno permesso poi.
I was able to have some experiences of drawing near, which then allowed me to come to that decision where, yes, I desire to give myself to the Lord. Yes, I desire to enter the seminary freely and joyfully. About 2 years earlier, I had done the Camino to Santiago de Compostela, and during this journey, which I did alone, I was able to reflect on what my life had been. And this reflection happened in the light of prayer. I would leave in the morning from the hostel where I had slept, and spontaneously, I would begin to pray the rosary. I would start to reflect, to thank God, and a desire began to arise in me, though I didn't know yet what name to give it. Thanks to a friend of mine who used to go to a beach on the Roman coast, this beach had the special feature of being welcoming to everyone, giving access to people with disabilities. Above all, we would gather every day at 3 p.m. under a large cross to pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy and then to share the gospel of the day. It was July 10th, 2016, at 7 in the evening. I remember I was on the beach waiting for the celebration of Mass. Right at the beginning of the celebration, during the entrance hymn, I was asking the Lord, if you are calling me to the priesthood, if you want me as a priest, make it clear to me. And right at that entrance hymn, the song was Come and Follow Me. And during that song, I felt those words were being spoken to me. I remember I began to cry. I began to feel a deep emotion. I wouldn't know how to describe it in words, what I felt, what I experienced. I can only say that I truly felt the Lord calling me to follow Him. At the same time, in that moment, there was also a struggle within me to listen to those words. It was almost as if to say, Lord, do you know my story? Do you know my life? Even my age, I was nearly 40. Yet that, come and follow me, was so solid, so beautiful, so compelling, that I couldn't say no.
Solido, così bello, così attraente che io non ho saputo dire di no.
Quel momento che ha sentito la canzone.
And that moment when you heard the song Come and Follow Me, was that moment a confirmation for you?
Diciamo che in quel momento.
Let's say that in that moment, it was for me a response to a restlessness in my heart. And in that Come and Follow Me, I recognized myself. I recognized that it was the word, the phrase my heart had been searching for, even though it didn't quite know what it was looking for. That Come and Follow Me said, yes, this is what I've been searching for.
What advice can you give?
I believe that the Lord places in our path certain people, events, or moments through which He makes Himself known, moments in which He becomes present. And then it's up to us to make a space for this work that the Lord wants to carry out in our hearts, to listen to Him. And then, in freedom and generosity, to entrust ourselves to His word. Because, as a friend of mine used to say, with God, you never lose.
Come diceva una mia amica, con Dio non si perde mai.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay with us. After the break, we mark 55 years since St. Teresa of Avila was named Doctor of the Church and look at why her message still matters today. In the heart of Spain, within the ancient walls of Avila, faith and history meet in an event that every year draws pilgrims, devotees, and curious travelers from around the world. It is October the 15th, the day the city celebrates its most illustrious daughter, Saint Teresa the Mystic, a reformer and the first woman to be proclaimed a doctor of the church. In a Spain marked by wars, reforms, and inquisitions, a woman was born in 1515 who would forever change the face of Christian spirituality.
And we must remember that just a few years before Teresa's birth, the Protestant Reformation had erupted. All of Lutheran theology was emerging. It quickly became not just a religious movement, but also a political one, sparking the wars of religion across Europe. Teresa witnesses the suffering of the church, and in her heart arises a deep desire to lift it up, to heal the wounds inflicted upon it.
Teresa's determination and deep spirituality were evident from a young age. In Rome, Father Marini recounts an episode from her childhood, depicted in a bas-relief in the Church of St. Teresa of Avila, that clearly reveals her strong and courageous character.
This episode from Teresa's life takes us back to her early years, when she was still a child. Together with her brother, she ran away from home, wanting to go and be martyred by the Moors. In the bas-relief, we can also see the uncle, who caught up with them, brought them back home. Yet this story, which Teresa herself recounts, already reveals a desire that would later grow and mature throughout her life. In fact, at one point, she would even write a poem in which she says, "I die because I do not die."
As she grew older, Teresa's faith was put to the test. At the age of 20, she entered the convent, but it was not the life that she had imagined. Teresa went through a long spiritual crisis, one that reflected the broader crisis within the church of her time. Father Emilio Martinez, professor at the Pontifical Theological Faculty, Theresianum, explains how Saint Teresa, founder of the Discalced Carmelite Order, became one of the most important figures of the Catholic Reformation.
In her foundations, she sought a much simpler environment, reducing the number of nuns living in the monasteries, leading a stricter and above all more isolated life, but not out of a love for harsh penance or an excessive focus on asceticism, rather so that the nuns could be free and not have to submit to the constant coming and going of people within the monastery.
Her life in the convent was marked by illness, but it was precisely through suffering that something extraordinary happened.
The famous experience of the transverberation, which we also see represented here nearby in the Church of Santa Maria della Victoria, Bernini's celebrated ecstasy of Saint Teresa. It was there that she lived through this extraordinary experience of the angel piercing her heart. She describes how, in that moment, she felt as though she were dying, yet at the same time, experiencing an infinite delight, a sweetness so intense that it made her long for that death to be fulfilled.
Quella morte si compia.
Father François-Marie Lettel, recognized as one of the foremost experts on the saint and currently living in Lisieux, France, was interviewed by EWTN Vatican journalist Giada Dottavi regarding the meaning of her mystical visions.
I would say that this transverberation is somewhat the equivalent of St. Francis' stigmata, founders who receive a special grace of communion with Christ, sharing in Christ's sufferings for a fruitful purpose, for a greater work.
Besides founding convents, Teresa was also a writer. Her works, such as The Interior Castle, are masterpieces of mystical literature.
Castello interiore che è come una sintesi.
The Interior Castle is essentially a synthesis of all her spirituality, a profound reflection on the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him.
Teresa spoke of the soul as a castle made up of many rooms, with God dwelling at the center.
It's a work in which she describes the path that the Christian must take to enter into themselves. In a way, we could call it a kind of spiritual GPS, a navigator of the soul. You may be going through certain emotions or situations and think they're just sadness or anxiety or inner unrest. But Teresa tells you, look, there's a depth in all of this that has to do with your relationship with God, whether it's present or absent, whether you're living with it well or struggling with it, whether it's guiding you or whether you're running away from it.
Pope Paul VI, in
1970, recognized the universal and enduring value of her teachings, bestowing upon her the title of Doctor of the Church.
Nella Basilica di San Pietro, in Vaticano.
In St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, as soon as you enter, look to the right and you will see the statue of Saint Mother Teresa of Jesus. We call her saint and mother because she is our foundress. Teresa was declared a doctor of the Church because, through her written teachings conveyed in her works and letters, she is able to illuminate the spiritual life of every Christian. In other words, Teresa is a teacher of the Christian life. She is a figure who guides us so that we can fulfill the vocation to which we were called at our baptism. And it is for this reason that Pope Paul VI declared her a doctor of the Church.
Paolo VI l'ha dichiarata dottore della Chiesa.